says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. You see, understand this, church, that only God can take you out of your old paths. Only God can remove the old ways from you. And it comes to a place where we have to acknowledge what's working in our lives. Sometimes we do it out of ignorance, and sometimes we do it out of stubbornness. Our stubbornness is where we recognize that God is dealing with our heart about something, but sometimes we are simply just not mindful to work on that thing until God has perfected it in us. Some of us get angry because God keeps taking us through different tests and different things like that. Those tests are to show you where you're not, where you're lacking. You see, if you go through a test one time and you end up cussing somebody out, you're going to go through that test again. And when you go through that test the next time, you learn from the scripture to restrain yourself, not to allow yourself to walk in your flesh. And then you're progressing. See, sometimes we think that when we fail, we failed completely. No, that's never the case. You may have failed the test, but you have not failed at life. You have not failed at your walk with God. He has told me to encourage the body, even when we have made mistakes, to get up and keep going. Keep walking and living for God, because that's a testimony. You don't have any disciple that I'm aware of through the scriptures and reading and studying the scriptures and going through the gospels that never made a mistake, that never had God or his spirit correct their thinking, something that they may have believed or something they walked in. They walked in pride. We saw through Peter and different people in the Bible that they went through that process long enough till God transformed their lives. And that's where God gets the greatest glory, when he is the one that transforms our lives. I can't stand before you and say that I've overcome on my own ability, on my own intellect or anything. I have not worked out my issues, but God has. God has given me victory over areas of my life that I had no control over, or just the knowledge of his will and purpose. The knowledge that some of the things that I did ignorantly were sin. And he was able to give me a different heart towards the things I used to do. And so as we walk with God, realize, church, that we're being transformed not into our own image, but we're being transformed into his image. We are to be transformed, to be made like him. The title of this message is, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Because, see, God clearly says that we need to work on ourselves first. But as you're in a body of Christ, as you have a brother and a sister, people that God will minister to through you, I want to get that in your spirit, church. A healthy body is a body where each of us is ministering one to another. It's not where I'm standing, I'm doing well, I'm on my own, I'm able to hold my head up, I'm able to be proud of the things I've accomplished. No, it's not like that. It's not an I thing, it's a we thing. As a church, we are stronger when we have people in the body that have fallen and have been able to get back up and keep walking with the Lord. That they have people around them that have not just seen them fall, but also been there to see them go back to their recovery and be strengthened and restored to the body. You see, that's a healthy body. It's just like the natural body. Well, I don't know the statistics or the words to say it, but our body is being renewed daily. As we grow as a physical body, there are cells and things in our bodies that are dying off and we're passed through our system, but then our body naturally recreates new cells and new things in our body. That's the same way with the body of Christ. There are things that need to die, and if they're not dead, they will be revealed and shown to the body, and then the body will pray, and then becomes it becomes toxic for a season, so that we can get the in the body out of the body, so that we can flow together as a family, as the body that Christ is supposed to. Because whether we acknowledge it or not, we are going to be and are part of the body of Christ. And because we are functioning as a body, things that ought not to be there, you're going to notice it, you're going to feel it, and you're going to have to work through it. Because don't leave the body, stay close to the body. Some of us have gone through these trials and tests in our lives just so that God would help you make with your mind that now I need to serve God and stop serving my flesh. Now I need to serve God and stop serving my fleshly desires, stop serving my lust, stop serving the things that I want to do. But sometimes you fall in those areas. And when you fall, get back up and keep walking with Jesus Christ. Because without him, and you're going to learn that very quickly, without him, you can do nothing. We need him. We need him to renew our minds. We need him to change our hearts. We need him to guide our steps. And he's given us all that we need, but sometimes even having all that you need, you don't really rely on it. You'll have people in your life that will pray for you, but you don't call for prayer when you're struggling. There are people in this body that can pray. There are people in this body that will pray fast with you. There are people in this body that will carry burdens. There are people in this body that will walk with you through your difficult times and through your bad situations. There are people here that will help you. But if you don't choose to humble yourselves and ask for help, if you don't choose to humble yourself and acknowledge your need for other people, you're going to walk in your pride. And pride never, one of the things that caused Satan to fall was his own pride. Because he wanted to be in the place of God. Who's on the throne of your life? We all have thrones. We all have a place where we sit and we make the decisions. And it's a good thing if you're humble enough where you say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore without you. I've had so many interesting conversations this week talking to people that have, one brother I was talking to, and I was so amazed at his testimony. And I love the fact that the Bible says, let another man's mouth or another man's lips praise you. I was so grateful to hear the conversation from this brother about how God had changed his life. He was celebrating the anniversary of having the Holy Ghost for 10 years. And I was just so taken back by the fact that things don't, in God's kingdom, don't always happen fast, but they're still working. They're still happening. People's lives are still being transformed, and people are being transformed into the image of Christ. And to think that God is blessed, and just to be grateful for how God has spared his life and how God has kept him all these years, and how that there are times when he left and he returned to the body. And I'm so grateful that we're still here as a body. We're still a church. We're still thriving. And you might say, well, we don't have, it's not the numbers. It's what's in us. You see, sometimes people value numbers. I value value. What's valuable in us is a sincere heart. What's valuable in us is people that truly, when they worship God or when people say, I love you, they really mean it from the heart. There's something so the world is looking for that God is causing us to possess in his body, and that's just being genuine. Genuine people are those that can confess their faults one to another and that they may be healed. Genuine people are those that live it all together, but I know there's things I've been through in my life where I can assist you in your walk with God. I'm not perfect, but neither are you. But together, we can be a body. We can be a family. We can be an encouragement to one another. See, without God and without his people, we don't have very much. I've been around people that are lonely. I've been around people that don't have a family. I've seen people in nursing homes. And I've seen people in the process where, in the places where I work at that literally have no visitors, and their life is just a revolving circle, going to liquor store and going to the crack house or going to the drug dealer. It's an endless life where there's no fruit, good fruit out of it. But I want you to come with me back to the scripture. And when I read something earlier, when it says, judge not that you be not judged, I had to go through that, church. And it's a painful thing to go through. And you might, and I know now that if you're judging someone else for the things that they've done in your life, it's your pride that's doing that. Be so very careful when you find yourself in a place of elevation that God didn't put you in that place. You see, we in our own minds can elevate ourselves to the state where we look at other people as though we can't be in the same position that they're in. Or we think that we're better than them. Don't go there. Please don't, because it says, judge not that you be not judged. You don't want God to put you in a position where you're just like them. I've been there so many times, I'm not going to tell you the stories. But with what judgment you judge somebody with your mouth, or you judge somebody by your statements and the things that you say about them. Don't be careful, because when trouble starts coming to your household or to your life, look back at how you've been speaking. That's why it says that does not, we're not to judge one another, but also he that is spiritual. See, we need to be in a position, thank you, Father, in a position where we have the kindness and the love of God towards someone that when they struggle, we go to pick them back up more so than to judge what they've fallen prey to or what they've gone through. That's the kind of heart, that's the kind of thing. Give me a word, Lord. That's the kind of atmosphere you want to have in the church where people can, people are, just get that out of your mind that people are not going to make mistakes. That people are not are going to walk perfectly with God, because sometimes it's out of ignorance, and sometimes out of the sometimes it's out of just a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God, and sometimes it's just a growth process. Some people are hard headed, and when they grow through those difficult times in their life, and God lifts them up, I hope they can come back to us as family, as a body, and find the love of God still in us and working us, wanting them to be able to continue walking with God. This only happens when I don't breathe at church. You lay have water next to me. I'm so sorry. If I pass out, I know that Stephanie, we put hands on me. I'll be gone from the screen for just a little, but they know about, they believe in the resurrection. Don't, at church, I'm in a place where I can get. But anyhow, what I'd like you to also consider is that we've said this often, the trials and tests that you go through are not just for you. They're to perfect you. They're to allow you to have the humility to minister to someone else. You see, people know when you're ministering to them out of your pride as though you've never done it. And people also know when you minister to them out of humility, saying that I've done this and God had to restore me and we had to get back up and keep running with God. God is, one of the things that really stood out in this conversation I had with a brother in the church was that he said, I'm thankful for what God kept me from. What God kept me from. If I had continued living the life I had lived before, I probably wouldn't be here today. I can say that the truth about my own life. If I continue my own ways, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I've made it. But I am saying this. My life is much better because of my walk with God than it would have been had I not known God. The Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. I could have went through my entire life never knowing God and coming to the end of my life and standing before him. And not realizing that when he went to the cross, it was for me. That I might know him, that I might experience his presence in my life, that I might have wholeness and not brokenness all my life, that I would not even be able to say that I've known God. And I implore you as a body, get back in your prayer closets. Go back to your prayer closets. Go back to humility. Go back to the place where God can still speak to you and say, go here and do this. Keep your heart tender before God, because you don't know how effective that God can work in your life to help someone else. There is no greater love than this, that a man will lay down his life for another. And I don't think that is only spoken of a man who actually dies for someone else. God's already done that. Well, I'm talking about laying down your life for someone else when you could be out, hanging out, doing whatever you want to do. You spend your time studying the Word of God, preparing and being ready to give an answer to them that have, for the hope that lies within you. We have a hope in us that the world doesn't have. And you might think right now you're going through some tests and some difficult times. Get ready. There's somebody that's coming that's going to need your testimony. There's somebody that's coming that's looking for you, looking for someone who had victory over death, hell, and the grave. There's someone waiting on you to be able to say to them, I've been through or I've been where you're at. And through the Word of God, through prayer. And the thing about it is not only the Holy Ghost comes alongside us, But sometimes we need our brothers and our sisters to come alongside us as well. I saw something that was very human. Thank you for the water, Stephanie. Now I feel like I'm gonna live a little longer. But it was so funny to me because I watch people, not all the time, but I watch people, and I saw something. Two sisters. It was really cold out on the last breaking bread, and I don't know if you've ever seen a mother hen and a baby chick. There were two sisters that go to our church. I won't mention their names. That were holding on to each other like a baby chick and a mother chick. And it was so funny to me. I said, we are such an unusual church. Because this the littlest sister was right near her bosom, right into, and she was wrapped her arms around her. I looked at her, I said, oh my God, what am I seeing here? And I thought about it, I said, that's love. You know, it's like, because having a family is no easy thing, because the world doesn't have very many families that are even close. We are many different families coming together and loving one another. And only God can do that. I'm grateful for the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I grieve sometimes when I think of churches that are trying to exist in the life, in the world the way it is, and not have the Holy Ghost. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. Because without him, we have nothing. I'm grateful. The title, if I didn't give it already, of this message was, Am I My Brother's Keeper? And if you remember the story in the Old Testament, it happened long ago with Adam and Eve had their first children, Cain and Abel. And when they had given their sacrifices, and one had given a sacrifice of from the earth, and one had given an animal sacrifice. And the one, the brother Cain, who gave the sacrifice of the crop, of the field, his crop, or what he had given to God, his sacrifice, was not accepted. And God even told him, if you change what you do, you can change what's happened, how you're feeling about what, you know, me not accepting, basically. And when you think about it, when he was angry, he slew his brother. And when there came a time when God's presence came back around him and said, where is your brother? He said the very thing that his brother's name meant. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Abel means keeper. He said, am I accountable to my brother? And I want to tell you something, church. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. If you don't pray for people, you're accountable. Because, see, I've been in church long enough to know that there have been people praying for me that I've never known that they were praying for me. I've had sisters in the church that are intercessors. They walked up and said, brother, I was praying for you last night. And then they continue with that vein of telling me what God showed them. And I'm so grateful for those who cared enough to hear God's voice and believe God enough to say, this is what God said. And brother, you need to get this right, or you need to pray about this, or, you know, you need to seek the Lord on this matter. Because they took God seriously. Not everybody looks at God or looks at the relationship with God with purpose. I'm grateful for those who believe God, that take him at his word, that have prayed, that have interceded. I can't even say I'm thankful. That doesn't seem like it's enough, because they don't realize that they're saving someone. I know God ultimately is our savior. And he is the one that moves people's heart to pray. He is the one that reveals what's going on in people's lives. He is the one that wakes someone up in the middle of the night and gives them a dream, or through the night, through a dream on your behalf. But the fact that God gives people to reach, to minister, means that we have to be in a place where we're and listening to the voice of God. And not forgetting what he's told us and who he has revealed to us that needs our prayers, that needs us. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. I haven't done it well, but I'm going to get better. That's one of the areas I'm praying and asking God to help me be better at. One of the things that he's done is, like he says, when God's saying to me, when I laid somebody on your heart, you pray for them immediately. And not just that, is that sometimes there's a follow-up. Sometimes you call and say, hey, what's going on? Something that I've always felt led to do in a men's fellowship is say, why do you say pray for this, but there's never a follow-up or a update on what's going on? Because we care about you. We care about the things that are going on in your life. Not because we're nosy. It's because we pray and prayer encourages us to keep praying. When you share testimonies, you're sharing testimonies about how God is moving and working in your life so that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We find out how good God is. It encourages us. It encourages the body. So don't rob us by not sharing your testimony. And if you don't remember them, try to jot it down. Make a note to yourself. Hey, I got to share this testimony because God did something. Anything that God does is powerful. And we need to show our gratitude in sharing our testimonies. That's just another thing that ministers to this body. He's not doing the same thing in everyone's life. So when he blesses someone with a new job, that's encouraging. When he blesses someone being restored in their relationships, that's encouraging. When he brings someone that was dead back to life, that's encouraging. And that does not always mean the physical death. It could be a spiritual death that someone's gone through where they have had a struggle or they've been walking in pride or anger or anything. And then God restores them. And then we hear the testimony of them being restored, not just to God, their family. That's encouraging. And I've been asking, Lord, why do we need so much encouragement? Because we see so much of what goes on in the world. The world is very visual. It's out there. And everybody can see all the things that are going on, the news, everything. But if you focus on those things, it'll affect your spirit. So we need your testimonies. We need to hear the goodness of God. We need to hear, tell me something good. We need to hear those things that God is doing in the body, in our church, as well as outside of our church. Man, it's a privilege to be a part of God working in the earth. It's a privilege to be a part of the work that he's doing in individuals' lives. And we play a small part, but we do play a part. I'm grateful for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And as we walk with God, they will manifest themselves more and more as we see that day approaching. Because God is just trying to show us that he needs us. One thing I keep reflecting on that this brother shared with me in his testimony was this. He said something about, I'm trying to say it the way he said. He said, with the 30 days, he said, one thing I've noticed in 30 days, he said, I really believe that God is preparing us in those 30 days to overcome the things that have kept us stagnant or kept us not going forward and doing the things that God wanted us to do. And when he said that, I thought, that's nothing more than a mercy of God. You see, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they didn't have classes. They didn't have someone pouring into them like we do. They didn't have 30 days, 30 days to work on everything. Think about it. He's specifically helping us come out of places that we've been hiding in. See, you might not think, well, I'm not in the Old Testament. Well, they hid and so do we. You don't realize sometimes that it takes courage to do the work of, or the will of God, but also it takes preparation. And sometimes that preparation comes through us joining ourselves to the body in any way that we can. What do I mean by that? When any man in this church joins men's fellowship or any woman joins women's fellowship, it's going to develop something in them where they're lacking. Something that, for instance, it can take a person who's shy or says they're shy and bring them out of that shell so that they're exposed to what the body, the truth of the word of God, and that it's not really about you at all. It's about you being comfortable enough around your brothers and sisters to share what God is doing in your life so that you can possibly win your family, so you can possibly go back and teach that Bible study. But if you never engage, if you never overcome, I hope that the blood of our families and the blood of our loved one around us doesn't land on us because we neglected so great a salvation. We neglected coming to a place where we can know God in full measure. We lacked in prayer. We lacked in reading his word. We lacked in communing with him. We lacked in witnessing and talking to others. Because when you talk to others about Christ, it stirs up something in you. It keeps you sharp. It keeps you aware of how God is moving. So that's so important. So I'm asking you, don't judge others. And then I'm going to go down to verse 4. It is 4. Verse 5. It says, thou hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite is someone that says one thing and does another. He says, first cast out the beam. Oh, my goodness. How do I do it?
Just go right where you were.
For those of you that are worried about my outcome, my phone just died. Not me. I didn't go. I didn't die from choking or anything like that. I'm okay. I know you're worried. I know you're. Like,
oh my God, Itella!
I'm okay. My God.
You got cold outside.
Bounce, y'all.
You just got cold.
I don't want to call it a murder.
Don't even try it. Don't even go there.
I love you guys.
So as I wrap this up, praise God. I don't care where you are in your walk with God right now. Your walk with God is not in vain. Please remember that. Nothing in your life is in vain. He did not die in vain. So let's make his life count. His life in you is so important because you are the evidence of the resurrection. Because you believed. Because you followed. Because you were filled with his spirit. Let him complete the work. Because he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it. He shall do it. It's not about you doing it. It's just you yielding yourself to the Holy Ghost and yielding yourself to God. Because he wants this. He wants you to see him in you. There is so much that God wants to do in us. And he's able to. You know, and the thing about it, I think about this brother he was sharing with me, being his 10-year anniversary. And I'm thinking, that's a long time that God had to wait. God has been waiting on us. If you really think about it. Waiting on us to stop making excuses for what we can't do. Waiting on us to stop going in these circles or these old patterns. Waiting on us to say, yes, Lord. Waiting on us. And some of us have had to wait on others because we just didn't want to do it. We didn't want to listen. We didn't want to humble ourselves. And that's on us. But, you know, I hope that we have matured enough. And we've come together enough in this season where we can see the things that God really wants to see happen in our midst. Those who are praying, keep praying. Those that are believing God for great things, keep believing God and trusting in him. Those who have those that you're praying for, man, believe God for it. Believe God for it. Stephanie testified earlier about a friend that she's known for 9 years. I said, that's a long time to have a friendship. And it still be intact and still be that person still present in your life. And praise God for it because she prayed for it. She prayed for someone to come in her life that would make a difference. And that person came and they came along with their family. And God knew what she needed. And it was both ways. She needed them and they needed her. And I'm so grateful because when people come in contact with you, church, they're coming in contact with the living God. Be all that you can be in him. I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to pray for the body. Father, even now, I thank you for this opportunity, for the few things I was able to share. I thank you, Lord, that our vacation is coming up, that you'll be able to bless us and bless those that are able to go. And those that are not able to go, I pray that you keep your hand upon each and every one of them. We thank you for traveling mercies. We thank you for even allowing us in different places to let our light so shine before men that they will glorify you. Lord, help us, draw us closer to you, Father, and that we would acknowledge your working in our lives and seeing those things which we have prayed for come to pass, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of others as well. Help us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of you and bless those who are working this week and those preparing on this trip. And I pray that you keep your hand upon us for good. in Jesus' name. Thank you again for this opportunity to teach. God bless you guys.
Amen. Amen.
You, Pastor.
On that note, I will see y'all.